Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. Welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
And we're just having
go back in time and like, redo that one.
Yeah, we're just having a raging debate about now.
How about 2 and 2 does equal 4?
You know Louis C.K. is a comedian, and he was on The Tonight Show relatively recently, and he had this bit, but part of the bit was, you know, the daughter wants to know how to do basic arithmetic, like something like 2 and 2 plus equals 4.
Yeah.
And then she says, you have to show the work. But I was like, sorry, what? How would you show the work for that? And anyway, Louis C.K., brilliantly funny man, but that joke kind of fell.
I get it. You're like, so 2 plus 2 equals 4. Well, yeah, but you have to show it. Like, what's to show?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the joke is, she goes, but Dad, what's like 2 plus 2? And he's like, 4. And he goes, but I gotta show the work. And he's like, well, you can take a picture of me, draw a picture of me telling you the answer. So very funny. But then when you think about it, hey, you know, maybe division.
Oh, there was a Calvin and Hobbes thing where his dad was teaching him arithmetic, right? And he's like, okay, if I have, like, 3 pennies, right? And I give you 3 pennies. Yeah, well, how many pennies do you have? He's like, well, I have 3. He's like, no, I have 3 pennies, and you have 3 pennies. He's like, well, these 3 pennies are mine. Those 3 pennies are yours. I have 3 pennies, right? So I just thought that was kind of funny.
You think of Calvin Hobbes, he's got the dad shows him a record.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. Yeah. The point on the inside of the record and the point on the outside of the record. Right. This one has longer to travel, but they're at the same speed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's just little Calvin, like, awake at night, trying to figure out how that works.
Yeah, I thought that was fun, too.
But actually, just talking, the discussion about Matt is pretty related to our topic, so maybe we should jump to it. But we're talking about time travel.
Yeah!
Not spinning records.
Spinning records.
Which is what we do so often. Broken.
Traveling the same speed goes.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Well, the reason why is because, Wayne, you saw a trailer for the movie Source Code.
Didn't actually see the movie, just the trailer.
No, the trailer, because the movie's not out yet here, I don't think.
I don't think here, in Japan, yeah.
No. I was just watching trailers. Upcoming summer movies and like Source Code. Okay, what's that? And apparently, I explained it incorrectly to Lyle. So it's a 1 minute talk about time travel. It's a 1 minute trailer which engendered about 2 hours worth of discussion.
It slowed it down.
So
well, we're relativists.
So anyway, yeah, it's just kind of weird.
And everybody's going, oh, well, how did you explain it?
So
Wayne told me the premise of the movie is that Jake Gyllenhaal, whatever his name.
Gyllenhaal.
Prince of Persia. Gyllenhaal?
I think so. Prince of Persia.
Jake Prince of Persia.
Jake Persia. He's the star in it, and basically he gets sent back, and the way it's originally explained to me, he gets sent back eight minutes into the past, and he gets put in some random person's body. So I was like, 8 minutes in the past, so they have time travel, but it only works for 8 minutes. Mm. How good is that if you're only going back 8 minutes into the past?
Yeah.
You just, by the time you probably set it things up, it'd be like, finished.
We missed our window.
And there goes 8 minutes. All right, well, quick, set up again. And then I was thinking, well, couldn't they just leapfrog? And it's like, you go 8 minutes into the past, 8 minutes into the past, 8 minutes into the past, until you actually get something substantial. Oh. Well, it turns out the premise is that he can go jump into a body 8 minutes before that person dies.
Yeah, the last 8 minutes of that person's life.
Last 8 minutes of that person's life, which is equally ridiculous. It's like, why 8 minutes?
And they said we've mapped out this person's brain. And
right.
So if you mapped out the whole freaking brain, why don't you just jump back to the beginning of the person's life? I mean, why is that 8 minute restriction, right?
Correct some of those mistakes.
Yeah, it's like, it could be something to do with like short-term memory is the only part they can access or something.
What can you accomplish in 8 minutes? Yeah. Be like, why don't you?
Don't worry, I'm not trying to argue that it's a good premise. Just trying to find the rest.
Yeah, and he falls in love with some girl in less than 8 minutes. There's one point where he says something along the lines of,
"You had 8 minutes to live. What would you say?
I'd make every second count."
What you probably would say if somebody said that to you is something along the lines of, "I'm okay. You're okay. I'm just gonna move on.
Walking away.
Doesn't have to be 8 minutes. There's people who love you. I'm sure.
But it's funny. They had this astrophysicist on this feature describing it and talking about all this interesting stuff. I guess they didn't actually use the movie.
Yeah. They're like, oh, wait a minute. The producer's like, so wait a minute. If all this stuff works, that makes for a pretty boring movie. How about we make it 8 minutes? And how about you jump into someone's body? And how about, ooh, there's a bomb on a train. It's going to blow up. And the astrophysicist is just like, why did you call me? Yeah.
But then the guy was describing like the possibilities if we could map out brains and like put ourselves inside other people's. And one was like, yeah, we could have workers doing dangerous jobs with other people controlling them. I'm like, wow, that's so great, except for the workers that are still doing dangerous jobs. That's like worse than slavery, because at least now they can't even think for themselves. Somebody else is controlling them. Mm. But he was like, wow, think of the possibilities. Yeah, and it's so horrible. How about we make you one of those, like,
yeah, right,
slave drones?
Yeah, so, Mr. Professor, how about you're now a bomb-sniffing dog? Oh, no.
I got this massive brain. Maybe I can.
And now it's mine!
I would like to take your frail little astrophysicist body and have you controlled by, I don't know, somebody who knows a little bit about bomb disposal or not. I don't care what happens to your body.
I know a lot about bomb disposal, and I'm going to make you do all the work. That way, one time I screw up, it's not me that will.
You know, if worst comes to worst, I'm just going to make your body fall on the bomb. absorb the explosion. But I'm so frail and small. Well, we're going to take a few astrophysicists. Anyway, that guy was cold.
I could just see a Far Side style cartoon, and it's like bomb is going to the unit. And it's just like a line of astrophysicists waiting to check themselves onto the bomb, like, in case of bomb, break glass. Like,
in case of bomb, open closet of astrophysicists.
And then if they complain, say, you open this Pandora's box, my friends. There's two questions you should ask. Can we do it, and should we do it? You didn't ask the second question. Maybe in your next life you will.
Well, we've now lost the astrophysicist listeners.
Yeah.
That's probably good, because I think our math is a little shaky on this time travel.
Yeah.
But, or how about if you can map out a person's brain? Like, why did they have that particular random person on the train, and they have his? Why not take the terrorist?
Yeah, that's what I said. Brain?
Why don't you?
Because the terrorist blew up in the bomb.
Yeah.
No, he didn't, because then the premise of the movie is another terrorist.
Yeah. I'll go 8 minutes before that terrorist die, and then take the bomb apart. I don't know. The bomb's wrapped around you. Like, we don't know where the bomb is, but... And if you stop the bomb from exploding, then the guy is no longer going to die, so you've no longer gone 8 minutes before he's supposed to die.
And, like, he tries and saves the girl and all that different stuff, and then she survives, and then paradox, and all that.
Does she survive?
Of course she survives.
Paradox! Speaking of paradox.
Welcome to our podcast.
Man, if time travel were real, perhaps you could go back in time and not download this episode.
But, you know, I guess they could actually fast forward and skip. They could jump.
So time travel is possible.
8 minutes into the future.
Why 8 minutes?
I think we've actually speaking about source code for voting.
Oh, yeah,
that's appropriate.
Which I think is enough time.
All right. So getting down to the real nitty-gritty of time travel.
So just like villains, our villains episode, we thought we would go through some questions that Game Master should ask themselves if we are going to incorporate time travel. I mean, I don't really want to get into too much into the science. It seems people like Stephen Hawking would say that it's not possible. And he even had the funny, it's not so funny, but Chronology Protection Agency. And so basically saying that people who think that time travel is theoretically possible through things like closed time-like curves, he's saying that really it won't really happen. I don't really understand why.
I think Chris's book, The Closed Time-Like Curve, is what Chris and I were talking about.
I think so, the theory by Neil deGrasse.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
You were leaning back.
Yeah, so I guess the first question you might want to ask yourself if you're going to do time travel is, can you travel into the past? Can you travel into the future? Or both? And what would be the... Now, from what I heard about from Hawking is that if you take time travel and say time travel is impossible, time travel in the future is really impossible versus just nearly impossible for the past. And some of the things he brought up, which I think were interesting and played with quite well in different movies or books, is our memory, our memory only goes one way.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really remember what is going to happen to us. We don't remember what's going to happen to us. We remember what happened to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's showing that time goes in one direction. He also said that entropy shows that time goes in one direction.
Right.
And I think this is part of the example for entropy is like, for example, if you knock a glass off a table, it breaks. You don't really knock it back up.
Mm-hmm.
And back together.
Yeah, but for the story, I mean, I really enjoyed Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
The original, with Charlton Heston. And that's a form of time travel in a sense, in that they kind of were up in space and...
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the twist at the end, I hope I'm not spoiling Planet of the Apes, but the twist at the end was that it was time travel, but the movie wasn't a time travel movie. It was a sci-fi movie, alien world kind of thing.
Well, not to split hairs, but you could kind of argue it was slightly time travel because they were digging up all these relics from the past and trying to discover what happened. So time kind of did play a sort of small role.
That's a time travel movie.
They were trying to discover
the past.
Right.
Who's now in the future, and he's found, but he didn't know.
Right.
That's why it's a big twist, is he doesn't know it's the actual, his future.
The audience doesn't know either, though.
But, sorry, well, I mean, we could argue, does that make a time travel, whether or not you know or not know, but for the most part, though, I other than, like, what I was saying is, like, other than the example of Planet of the Apes and things like that, is that mostly I think of time travel as going back into the past.
The only reason that I bring that up is that if you were designing a game or writing a story about that, I don't think you would have to really think about time travel in it, because that's just the twist at the end. But, so, just saying my reasoning for saying that, but I see what you're getting at as well. So.
Because you wouldn't actually travel. It would be like a one-time deal.
Exactly.
Right?
That's...
You're frozen in cryosleep, you wake up, boom, you're in the future. But
you
have no way of traveling a long time.
You put it much more eloquently than I did.
I see what you mean. And I would agree that, yeah, that's not really time travel, because it was just that one event to kick off and some deep and thought.
No, but I mean, it's still time travel, and it's still a time travel.
That you're in a different time.
I don't know, maybe we opened with the wrong question. And so maybe the backup is... Well, let's talk about like Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, whether that's not a time travel movie or a book or a movie, in that he is passively observing both the past and the future. He cannot affect either one.
Mm-hmm.
So people would say that's not time travel because everything is passive, right? You could argue whether or not your consciousness going into the future, your consciousness going into the past is time travel. Because your mind is traveling. Well, I think, Chris, you would probably argue that is time travel.
I would, but not.
But the thing with time, for it to be time travel, you can actively affect it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, based on that, when you go into the future, it doesn't matter. Because there's another question you could ask yourself if you're doing time travel, for example, is can you control it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't control it, or even if you can, it could just be a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you guys are saying is maybe a time travel story is that you can have to go back and forth from present to present to future.
Not necessarily, but like everything...
The only thing that you guys are putting forth is why something like Planet of the Apes isn't time travel is that it's a one-shot deal, and now he's in the future, and now just the story just goes along. But I would still, that's a man out of time.
It doesn't
matter if he can't get back.
Right, I'll definitely agree it's a man out of time, but...
And that's not time travel?
Well, I was going to say...
Well, how did the man get out of time?
All right.
He traveled in time.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I think what we're saying, maybe I'm wrong, point made loud. All right.
I could just lean back.
That's all I asked.
What I was going to say is, I think in that story, like, the time travel part doesn't happen off camera because, we sort of know about the space capsule, right? But the way I kind of see it, like, if you were telling that story in the game, the players would have no control over that element of story. It would essentially...
But that gets into the question, can you control the time travel? And you could basically transplant your players from whatever their present time was to the past or to the future, and then that becomes a part of the game.
That's a harder story, I think, as well. Yeah. Because, like, if you, for example, if your players can go into the past and they can change things, then you have to deal with things like the butterfly effect and paradox and whatnot that may affect the...
Also, another question.
Present and future when they get back to it.
You just see in the future.
Whereas if it was the one turn, the one-shot thing, you'd only have to deal with the time that they've gone to.
But that's still time travel.
It is, in that you do...
But I think that maybe that's an important question is, do you want to put the emphasis on, put a lot of emphasis on the traveling, let's say, in that you...
That's what I'm saying.
A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, the Mark Twain one, is he travels back into time, into King Arthur's time.
Yeah.
And then he kind of just stays.
Yeah.
Would you call that a time
travel? But that's considered a time travel story.
Okay. How about Rip Van Winkle? I mean, he falls asleep for how many number of years and then wakes up? That's essentially a story. That's exactly the same as Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Would you consider that a time travel story? you can't go back.
For that matter, aliens. I mean, they're frozen in the ship for dozens of years as they travel across the universe, so they wake up in a different time.
Yeah. I think those are variations, I think those are the only...
I think what we're seeing here is that there's a pretty big division between, as you said, a man-out-of-time story versus a story where you are actively traveling through time.
Oh, yeah. It gets kind of down to the question, right? Can you control it, right? And if you... I guess a subset of that question is, can you go back?
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But if you make, like, if you can control it, then you're probably making a game like the GURPS in Infinite Worlds. Yeah. Where you have to, like, kind of the
ISP.
That's a fun game. Yeah, and that's what it is, and it's about how you do it. But if it's, you can't control it, and maybe if you travel, like, more like a quantum leap,
mm-hmm.
or where there's a very limited, like, he doesn't know, you know, where he's going to jump and when he's going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
Although they use that supercomputer to try to figure out, oh, you need to do this, and that will trigger your jump. But it's still, like, a very limited control.
Right.
Or maybe you could have it where it's no control, it's completely random.
Which I haven't read, but I think my girlfriend read it, she watched the movie. And in that one, in the time traveler's wife, the guy just kind of can't control his jumps and just kind of randomly jumps kind of back and forth through his own life.
That's not actually a good movie, the Adam Sandler one with the remote control.
I didn't see that one.
No, don't. It's
you watch that. I don't watch a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah,
I think it was just on TV.
I didn't like very much. But it's something like that. Like he fast forwards through his life.
Did he rewind it?
He couldn't rewind. Rewind was like a review. He could look at it but not interact. Mm-hmm.
So it was like a passive.
Okay, well, the premise was that the control had a smart chip in it so that it would remember what he'd fast-forward through, and then it would fast-forward through those in the future. For example, he fast-forwarded through a fight with his wife, so every time he fought with his wife, he would just fast-forward. Mm-hmm. And he did it through so many different situations that eventually he just started fast-forwarding through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Actually,
it was kind of a sad premise, but it had a happy ending. It was more lots of hilarious situations you get in there.
Anyway,
but that time travel.
That was very similar to the Rip Van Winkle kind of thing, in that he's just kind of, he woke up at a different part, even though he was still his life. And
I guess the difference I see between like Planet of the Apes and the Rip Van Winkle is they've actually gone into the future beyond their own lifespan.
Yes, I was going to say that as well.
Mm. So, yeah, they're not just coming, like when you freeze somebody for 12 years, it's just like you're sleeping for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to time's passed 2 years for you, but it's really been like 20 years for everybody else. Then mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of like time travel.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Sandler, like, he's still aged. It's not like he fast-forwarded his life and then he stayed the same age.
Kind of makes it like that fast-forward thing. Like, how did he stop the fast-forward?
He didn't stop the fast-forward. It was, it eventually reached points that weren't in his fast-forward program. Like his daughter's wedding, for example. He hadn't fast-forwarded through a wedding yet, so he got to see that.
I think I'll leave it.
If you're really curious, you can watch it, but don't.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah, so certainly one question. I don't know. Do you see a lot of possibilities with going into the future? A future story? I think a lot of the questions that arise come from past.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into some of those questions, but see any possibility?
Can you come back?
Yeah, you go to the future, you come back. So what?
Well, then I guess you do like, back to the future, kind of jump into the future, you find out a bunch of information, you come back, and you make decisions based on what you found. Like Biff did. Remember, he jumped into the future, found that the sports almanac from 2000 whatever, jumped, went back into the past, and then made all those bets and became rich.
You know, that's cool in real life, but for a game?
You know, actually, that's in your vampire game. You did that future vision thing. And that worked really well because it gave a motivation for the characters. To explain it, we all had a vision of the future where the world had experienced like a kind of apocalypse almost. And we went back and we had to figure out what happened and how to prevent that apocalypse. And that would be something that would be useful.
Now, that's it. Now, is that time travel? Because you get a vision of it. And I guess using the Christmas Carol definition, it's not time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't affect anything. Well, actually, you could. But you didn't. But you could have affected things in that timeline.
Yeah.
And in that future timeline. But it really, the impact was in the present day.
As you said
just
before,
like Scrooge, he could change his life so that the future didn't come true.
The thing is, if it's actually just an observation, then you're right. I don't think it really counts as time travel. But I think it counts as time travel if you change the present based on the future as well. If you get a vision of the future, even if you can't change anything like Scrooge, it still changed how he behaves now.
So
it affected him as a character.
Divination and things like that is a form of time travel.
Yeah, I hadn't parsed it down to that. But yeah, I suppose if I'm arguing that point, then yeah, that would count.
Yeah, I can see that.
But anyway, I think that could be used as an interesting mechanic for a story. Just show, well, we did that in the D&D campaign as well. If you don't do something, this is what the future is going to look like.
I know we can flash back.
And flash forward, so that the city, you saw the one city burning. Oh, shit, we gotta go
to
that city.
Oh, yeah, my guy. See him, yeah. I think, man, like, one out of, yeah, anyway.
That's the, as far as future travel, that's really the only way I see it right now for characters. It would be really good for a villain. What an excellent villain who knows what's going to happen.
Like Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
In Marvel Conqueror. Oh, he comes back, but his thing is he brings back all this really advanced technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's beyond what we have present day.
That's pretty good. I mean,
but yeah. I don't see, like, for antagonists that'd be great. Yeah, I agree. But for protagonists, what do you go get a bunch of these modern day weapons so you can conquer the world?
I win at everything.
Well, you
but yeah, that would be a cool villain.
I think so.
I knew you were gonna do that.
Yeah, totally. Right.
That could really be abused by like a GM, especially the divination stuff. Because hell, if the guy can like jump forward in time, he can jump forward and kind of see what you're gonna do.
Absolutely.
And then plan for it. So it'd be like. Again, it's like, man, we just can never catch that guy in everything we plan.
Could you
for.
Imagine the reaction of the players when they figure that out? Like, holy crap, this guy's jumping into the future and finding out about us. Whoa! Now we gotta do...
It's actually kind of like Pusher, the movie Pusher, because that,
that's
the,
right.
The,
they had the...
Kind of the one character could see the future, but she could only see...
Not being pushed.
Oh, the movie was Push. Sorry, yeah. Sorry.
You're thinking it was because of Jumper, putting that
I
on
I was
that.
Thinking, yeah, I smushed together Jumper and Push. Sorry. So the movie Push, yeah. The one character could see the future, but only when you made a choice, only intent. So the way they kind of got around that was by not making decisions until
the end.
That's, you're thinking of a different movie. You're thinking of...
He's thinking of that movie. I just trying to show him that. It's a relatively new movie, so...
Oh, sorry.
So, yeah, so the...
You might want to edit that
part. I don't think he revealed it, but the protagonists do figure out a way around it, so which was... Well, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I like that movie.
Yeah.
I agree that I think that would be pretty cool for as an antagonist, but as a protagonist, it'd be pretty boring, and it'd be pretty hard as for the storyteller because you really got to confine who can do it and how often they can do it, and if the players are just kind of controlling all that.
Right, and the same thing goes with the past too. I mean, the players could go into the past and set themselves up for some pretty sweet deals when they return to the present. But the idea of different dimensions, like a fourth dimensional being, someone who could travel in time, would be godlike to us. There's nothing that they really couldn't do. For example, the difference between like 2D and 3D. As 3D, if in a 2D world, we could jump through walls, we could see what's inside objects. As 4D, if there's a safe there, they can get in the safe easily. They just wait until the safe dissolves. You know, the time rests it to nothing, and then grab whatever's inside.
Well, and hope that the people didn't take us safe.
Well, anyway, it would be an enormous power, so it's probably not something that you should give to players.
All right. Oh, damn, I guess he took it out about 20 years ago.
Or you go back in time to when the person was putting it in the safe, or something.
I know what you're saying.
You're just cutting it down.
No. Like, I always thought fourth dimension meant you could, as you said, like a two-dimensional world, like a three-dimensional person can materialize inside things or like, you know, see what's inside stuff, break stuff open. So I assumed it would just be the same for a fourth-dimensional being. I'm assuming that the fourth dimension was time.
Well, it's easy. The person just can see.
Yeah, you can just get inside it or something. Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yes. You know, come to think of it, the players probably wouldn't react well if you had that kind of future time-traveling villain.
That's what I was thinking of. That's where I was going, because no matter what they did, I mean, you could be a real dick GM and said, oh, I knew you were going
to
do that,
exactly.
So boom.
You'd have to use all of the plans that they speak about against them, and then they just stop using the plans in front of you.
But it wouldn't even be that, because once you set up that this guy can time-travel...
Yeah, but you
can
do...
You know, as long as your players...
You can set it up where you have a system... Like, maybe you have to make a roll as a GM to see if you were able to anticipate that. But, yeah, you can completely reverse the player's plans, but they can introduce different things. Perhaps they decide to slip a coin or roll a die to determine, and not, like, game system, but in character they're actually rolling a dice or flipping a coin to make the decisions for them. So they create this really random... thing. Maybe that can throw the antagonist off.
Yeah,
so set up a couple different.
And basically, like mechanics wise, basically you're adding difficulty numbers to the antagonist's ability to anticipate.
Yeah, there's that one game, Leverage. It's a heist game, but it has a kind of mechanic like that, where you can spend something similar to like a hero or a fate point, and you can say, oh no, I set that up beforehand to help yourself through a situation.
Right. So. I think that.
It sounds like the end of that that second Bill and Ted movie. But I put the key under the mat. But we went back further and took out the key. Sorry.
Not Bill and Ted. There's a
time travel.
You know, I always thought that would be a really fun concept, is to make a group of heroes gathered from different times for some kind of quest. Like, you take a knight from the ancient time and then give him a laser sword in the future. You take a soldier and give him a blaster and put everything in the sci-fi setting. I thought that'd be
cool. Like different time warriors?
Yeah.
They've done that. They pull warriors from different... Like, maybe that's Forever War. I don't know. But yeah, they just snap people up. Again, GURPS has this fantasy setting, like a Bane world, with people that pulled up from different elements or different worlds,
mm-hmm.
and then put on them one.
I was going to say, it sounds like that cheesy Hasbro miniatures game, HeroScape, heroes from throughout time. And I was always kind of so really, so the future guys are just as effective as the knights? That's bullshit. I mean, this is blasting.
Well, that's why I said, like, give them a lightsaber or something like that.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like, so on this team we got the Valkyries. All right. Chicks with swords. And on this team we got the super dimensional aliens with plasma rifles. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that fight.
Cool.
No, another question to ask yourself is whether or not the butterfly effect is in effect.
No. Just no. As a game, no. Or, can you imagine the trouble planning you'd have to go
through? Or
don't pause afterwards, or we'll assume that was a question mark.
All right. Or is time really resilient? Like, it's basically, it will correct itself. Like, maybe the Novikov self-consistency principle, where if you try to change things, you'll just fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my opinion is rather clear.
No.
Well, it would be, conceptually, it sounds like a lot of fun to play with, but just as a GM to think about all of the different things that you have to consider and take into effect, it just sounds like a complete headache to design that campaign. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're saying.
I know what you're saying. I don't see it so much as a headache for the game master, but I think if the players didn't want to affect things, and, you know, I think the classic butterfly effect short story is Sounds of Thunder, or story is Sounds of Thunder, mm-hmm. Ray Bradbury, where they have those trips to kind of hunt dinosaurs. And
I remember the movie of that, but I also remember the movie being really bad.
I actually didn't watch the movie. I don't know how you could have... It's a pretty simple premise, so I don't know how you could make a 90-minute movie on it.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if I remember correctly, they go on these hunting trips in the prehistoric world, or prehistoric time, and they basically pick the dinosaur that's going to die anyway,
mm-hmm.
and then they hunt that dinosaur, and even like this... they don't even like walk on the ground.
There's a path on it.
There's a path that hovers over the ground, and then like somebody like crushes a butterfly or a plant, and mm-hmm. then they go back and I forget what happens, but it's something like the Nazis won World War II.
Oh, really? And in the movie, something like plant life came alive against the people. Mm. It was weird.
Oh, okay. But then you have the butterfly effect movie, which that wasn't bad.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, really? Yeah, every little change that he makes, he's trying to fix his present, let's say, mm-hmm. and
things just or different.
He can never fix things perfect.
Mm. I mean, I know what you're saying, that it would be kind of a nightmare for the GM to kind of work out some logical explanation to why stepping on a butterfly resulted in, you know, the Nazis winning World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened.
Yeah.
I think anything, like, we've got to say this now, and if you're going to run time travel, you know, you watch something like Terminator, don't think about it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you think about it, you're like, hey,
hold on.
Yeah. What? Because there's so many different things that, like, it really falls apart. Like, we just, like, make it from the source code. But, like, when I watched Terminator for the first time, you're like, that is so cool. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hold on, how does John Connor get conceived? We get so, Kyle Reese always comes back, and then the second movie comes, and I guess they never really changed something because they found, well, hold on.
Yeah, it's like the assurance, like, if he lives, that means he was conceived, which means that he doesn't die, which means the Terminator just can't win, period. Otherwise, great. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to the butterfly, the paradox. And not paradox, but the butterfly effect. I guess, mechanically, kind of what you could do is you could sort of maybe have a scale of how severe the NPC is, mm-hmm. and then you could sort of, okay, well, they did something really minor, so that means there's a minor change in the present, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a chance for there to be a mind. And, you know, kind of the more dramatic or different their actions are from history, bigger the chance there is for something big, or the bigger the change they back.
Hmm. That's pretty good. It'd be tough to classify what actions change that, but yeah, I think...
Or you could... Yeah, I agree, it would be kind of difficult to classify the actions. Or you could have some kind of, like, time travel stack. Like, mm-hmm. okay, you did this action.
Oh,
you
got to
roll these dice. How many successes you get? Okay, well, that means things are relatively normal when you get back. Oh, dramatic failure? Man, things are really fucked up when you get back.
you know,
time travel stat.
Yeah, like I'm just saying, like some PowerPoints or something.
Like I can see a time travel stat means, like for example, you can adjust to jumping in the time. Like maybe people, most people get time sick or they get some sort of psychosis role, but time travel stat means you're kind of like a zero? Like you are nothing?
No.
Maybe that's why these people are the ultimate time travelers, because they're basically...
They didn't affect the timeline at all.
Yeah, they just jump into the past and they don't really appear so much. Maybe, and they're easy to shift.
You know what could be a really fun mechanic for that is that one they use in Dread, where it's a Jenga tower,
yeah.
And every change you make in the timeline, I suppose it would be up to the GM what constitutes a change, you have to try and take out a piece of that. And if you change the timeline too much, it collapses on you and you lose the game. Right there.
No, I think that would be an interesting way to bridge. And you could actually just slap that on to any system. You're playing your regular system, but how resilient time is just... You know, the game master kind of makes a decision. It's like, well, that's the time space continuum is wobbling. Mm-hmm. So pull out a thing.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because the hard thing for the game master is not so much thinking of what the changes are. Mm-hmm. The hard thing for the game master with the butterfly effect is if somebody steps on a dandelion and then you rewrite history when they get back, then they'd be like, oh, okay. And then when they go back into the past, somehow they eat a sandwich, and you don't do that. Mm-hmm. And then they go, well, I ate a sandwich. Somebody else could have eaten that sandwich, and now they're starting today. You know, get into a lot of those debates. In other words, it might encourage players to think too much about time travel. And again, that's when time travel starts to break down.
I think if you were going to give the players...
But with the Jenga Tower, and the reason why I think that is a good idea is because, just every now and then, they're always kind of aware that sometimes... their actions, and then they can start to get a gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's very organic, is they'll start to get a natural feel. The more time travel they do, okay, I can step on all the flowers that I want. It's not because time is resilient enough that it's going to survive that. But as soon as I start to kill people or romance,
mm-hmm.
because then that person kind of falls in love and then they miss the opportunity to meet somebody else. And these people don't get born. Then I'm starting to pull sticks out of the Jenga tower.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I meant with time travel stat. And just that... There was like, that's what I was getting up to before you
cut
me off.
Because you said stat, and...
So I should have just said roll instead.
Pardon me?
When you go back and do something, there's a chance.
No, because I would say that a stat, and I'm cutting you off again, I know. A stat or a roll, oh, you martyr. is tied to a person.
Right.
And it wasn't so much that you...
Yeah,
it was because you were tying it to an individual. I was like, well, how are you going to tie it to an individual? Whereas the Jenga Tower, as Chris recommends, is kind of tied to time.
Right.
And if you were to have, let's say, a time travel stat, then it's like Chris says, pull three sticks out of the Jenga Tower and you roll your time travel stat. It's like how much of a zero or how good you are at time travel or whatever. Mm-hmm. You can make whatever rationale for it you want. You roll and you go, no, I don't. I'm only going to pull one stick.
Oh, yeah. That's actually a pretty cool idea.
Oof. And then you do that. Nice. And, of course, obviously, if somebody's got, like, let's say a low time travel stat, they're just going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not... You just would never send them back.
Oh, come on, Chief. I'm ready. No, Johnson, you stay here. Last time you got sent back in time, all kinds of crap got screwed up, and we had a doozy of a time trying to sort it back.
That'd be a fun kind of balancing mechanism as well, to say, like, a person who's kind of a zero and has no real effect on the world around them, they make for a better time traveler. You can say that, like, you get a certain number of points to build your character with, and you can spend as many of those points as you want to make yourself bigger, stronger, faster, whatever, but the more of those points you spend, the remainder is what your time travel stat is. Because you're a less interesting, maybe not less interesting, but less influential person.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. And it's not a paradox, because it actually builds upon itself. But, yeah, the less influential you are on time, just the less influential you are, period. You are
nobody. You're
to die now, and no one would care.
I think a fun premise for a movie, especially because you could start off showing that every man loser character kind of makes it in the end because of that. But in the game, it'd be kind of hard to start off.
I kind of see that being a bit more of a comedy game. Kind of like a I can see it.
If you imagine, like, in Men in Black, where, you know, where the Will Smith character comes in and you have all these, like, super, like, the military guys and then trying to figure out how to write that test, drags over the team. Like, wow, this guy's, like,
outside of the box.
He thinks outside of the box. But this guy, you have all these, like, super soldiers and brilliant scientists and then this, like, Joe Schmo.
Yeah.
and then just kind of watch what, how everything he does just doesn't affect anything.
Mm.
Whereas that, yeah, they, everybody else is solving the problems, and then they go, yeah, all right, everyone else can leave.
Yeah.
You know, Dale, you can stay. Thanks. You non-entity. You. Even his girlfriend doesn't remember him. I can see it as being a comedic movie, but I don't think a game necessarily needs to be comedic.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I think the only another way you could use it with PCs is just
didn't
make it
break up. No.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Another way to make it with PCs work is just make it really, really short, really limited. You can go back for a minute,
well, that'd
or
be,
only 8 minutes or something.
Is like, yeah. It, how long can you stay? Or get some control. Can you control how long?
Yeah.
That might be fun. If I know we've experimented in real time. With kind of pretty lackluster results. But if you can somehow incorporate real time is when you go back in the time,
mm-hmm.
and you have that time limit, but try to incorporate some sort of like stopwatch effect.
I think, you know, with that real time thing, I think a good way to do it would be to like have a stopwatch in the center of the table, and whenever somebody, let the players do it, when they speak or describe an action, they just push start and then stop.
Yeah.
And I think that would help with some of the ways we've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, it's a little off topic, but on topic because it's all about time.
We're talking about time. So, yeah, you could. It would be kind of a fun or interesting way to do it. It's like, okay, you have so much time in the past, you get catapulted back and.
Go.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess another question to ask yourself is what about paradox? So, the classic one. Well, I guess there's different times of paradox. I think it's paradox when you go, you can't meet yourself, or if you meet yourself, it's going to cause some sort of.
Yeah, that's the Back to the Future gimmick.
Yeah.
Interrupt the timeline!
Yeah. Then there's also the grandfather paradox. So if you go back in the time and kill your grandfather,
do you exist?
Do you exist? Yeah. And does that wipe out? And we were actually alluding to, or mocking, I should say, the source code maybe paradoxes. He goes back in 8 minutes before he dies, but if he actually affects the time,
so
the guy doesn't die, or doesn't get, then he got to like take a gun and pull it out. Poor guy. Like everybody else lives, except for you. Because that would be a paradox.
You have to die.
So whether, would that be interesting? Would that be really tough?
Again, like I think it's like you said before, the more you think about time travel, the harder it gets. So it's really, if you want to consider paradox, that's okay, but it's
big can work. Like a bone simple paradox. Like
yeah.
You can't meet yourself. If you do, then time doesn't understand well. But then, if you're in the same timeline, it doesn't matter if you're necessarily in the same place, like for places in the same room.
There's not really a reason why if you meet yourself, it's going to destroy the universe.
Any more so than if you're in the same, if there's two of you in the same time,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that just destroy it automatically? So basically you can't go.
It was a story gimmick from Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're thinking about it too much.
The more you think, the harder it gets.
All right. We have to pog of a script loud going out the ceiling. All
right. But that's also another place to go with it, then, is what kind of gimmicks have movies and games and whatnot used for time travel?
To avoid paradox or just
in general? No. I think, it's our last one, is what gimmick? Because it seems like, yeah, like Chris said, every movie, every book seems to have some sort of gimmick. Source code, 8 minutes before the person dies. Gimmick.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Can't meet yourself.
Can't meet yourself.
The paradox.
Terminator. You can't go back with any clothes or weapons or anything.
Yeah. Because why wouldn't you just put like flesh around?
That would be like really disturbing thought.
Yeah.
Well, they did. That's a Terminator. Flesh around an object.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah,
so
but
you
then
want
why not wrap a cadaver around a bunch of guns and
yeah.
Send two flesh bodies. One's just jam packed full of guns.
Yeah.
And the other is the Terminator.
Hollow pig.
Yeah.
Jeez.
See, that's what I said.
It's better than the cadaver's one, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you could just take a pig. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, why didn't Kyle Reese do that? But, yeah, sometimes a gimmick, or a Quantum Leap's gimmick, is he can only travel back to his own, at the time that he was alive.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's almost like the opposite of the Back to the Future. Like, anyway.
I think your brain's melting out your ear.
Right. What gimmick would you give to your time travel that kind of give it that, make it memorable? And a lot of times then the gimmick is just like, kind of sends a signal, just go.
Mm-hmm.
But wait a minute, why don't we just hollow out a pig and throw weapons?
Come on, man.
You're going back into time to have sex with your mom. What? You're your own father.
Well, it was kind of
a weird thing.
Like, yeah, that's weird.
Funny Futurama with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is his own pod?
Yeah, well, like, he always talks about, you know, the professor's talking about how you can't change time and stuff. But they end up going back through time, and Fry meets his grandmother.
Right.
And through a course of events, like, ends up sleeping with her, and his grandfather gets killed. And when they, like, travel back to the present, you know, it's like, oh, well, Fry, how come you didn't, you know, get erased? You know, we thought that something would happen, and, you know, the kind of joke is, well, apparently Paradox doesn't work. The hell of it, I'm not going to explain it. Mm. And speaking of time travel, I wish we could kind of go back 5 minutes.
Thankfully, through the power of editing, we can.
Don't make anything of Chris walking away while you're talking and looking out the window.
I'm used to that, too.
Yeah. Well, then there's the other gimmick is, well, I don't know if it's a gimmick or maybe it's a kind of core to time travel, is the alternate timelines. Or Time's River.
Any changes you make don't actually matter.
Fork. Yeah, you're basically splitting off another parallel universe, and then you have the very good GURPS or source books, the alternate worlds, and all these different... Those are, like, great for the what if.
I guess that's what physicists are thinking now. That's one of the current thoughts on how time actually works, is constantly splitting off into thousands of different realities.
And then you could have your... comic books do that a lot. Earth 1, you know, all these different Earth 51.
Kind of begs the question, though, what action causes a split?
The way that they talk is like every second is splitting time or whatever, but yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah. But I guess it's all or nothing. Mm. Because why does time care?
Yeah, why would time be on a minutely basis or something?
Yeah, or that was a big decision? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why went on a diet?
You know, I think your advice is, if you're going to do a game like this, tell your players, please just go with it. Because it's far too easy to come up with some kind of paradox or something in time travel.
Right.
But I think you do have to lay down some rules or your gimmicks or that kind of like the house rules of your time travel. For example, is time so resilient that if somebody goes back and tries to assassinate Hitler or tries to stop, you know, harking back to the hard-boiled episode, right. JFK is always going to die. Mm-hmm. Hitler's always going to somehow live. Or if you kill that nasty guy, suddenly Goring steps up, and by the way, everything is the exact same.
Yeah. Or could you have it where big changes, only really big changes, for example, something as important as killing Hitler, that might change the time stream, but...
And then again, that's not very fun. Then it's like, well, why am I just going back in the time? Because then everything becomes, I guess, what you guys are saying, like man at a time. Yeah. You're just like, okay, I'm now in a different time period.
Especially if you can't change or anything, what's the point of doing it?
Because I think if you're doing the time travel, I think the fun thing is something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, what interesting movie would you watch? And it goes, well, another successful mission. Mm. You know, it's like Apollo 13. They go up into space and go on the moon and come back.
It's worse, though. It's like Apollo 12.
Apollo 12. We haven't seen that movie. Houston, we don't have a problem. Wow, that's not a really compelling tagline. So obviously, it's like you go back in the time because you're always fixing problems. And I think that's pretty much the premise of the Infinite Worlds from GURPS.
Yeah. I think Houston...
Probably the biggest time travel gaming product out there. Yeah.
You know what I just thought would be a fun game would be trying to go to, to start the war between England and Spain during like the colonial era. Because I just figured if there was a time machine, I think Spain invented it. Because when Spain came to the New World, they had so much good luck. Like the Indians there all treated them as gods, and there were so many premonitions. Native Americans.
And First Nations.
They had all these legends and myths that these people would come on giant white mountains that floated across the ocean, or they would ride on the back of deer, or something like that. And it's kind of weird that the Spanish came in these big ships that were all white, looked kind of that pointy shape. They rode in on horses. So I figured, oh, that'd be interesting. Maybe the Spanish traveled really far back in time, created these myths, so that eventually when they did come, they could get all the gold that they...
But then it doesn't explain how the Spanish Empire collapsed.
That's the thing. Like, maybe that's the premise of your story, is you send characters back, and you have to ensure that the...
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. Different things you could do. I think also interesting about time travel is what is it? Hawking says the variation of the Fermi paradox, but basically, you know why? You know how I know time travel doesn't exist? It's because we don't need any time travelers right now. So nobody's coming back to the future.
Yeah, I've always thought that.
Right? Well, maybe that's what he's saying about time travel into the future.
From the future, right, time travel into the past.
One you're talking about with the closed curved space time thing, they were talking about whenever you turn that machine on, you can only travel within the period that the machine is turned on. So the guy figures he's going to build this thing, he's going to turn it on, and then somebody's going to walk out.
The state is a reason, like, not including the laws of physics, but eventually you go far enough into the future where someone develops a machine that can go into the without restriction. And then if you're assuming that, then yes, why haven't we?
Unless there is some kind of gimmick that prevents
that might be that's the exciting thing about time traveling game is that there's a lot of different things that you can do. One of them is you've got to be incognito.
Yeah, right.
Like you're a time traveler from the future, and you don't want people to notice you. Mm. So, but you've got all this technology, and that I think that would be pretty exciting because I don't think players have to deal with that a lot. I suppose if you play like a vampire game games like that.
I think there's lots of games where the players are more powerful than the people around them.
We're talking about having incognito.
They have to hide their true nature. Mm-hmm. But I think because you have that, and then on top of that, then you've got all this, you know, time is resilient to some extent, let's say, but not completely. So we got to make sure that not only nobody notices us, but...
everything pretty much happens the way it's supposed
to. Yeah, or we make our subtle adjustments. Yeah. Maybe that's why you're going back. All you make is little adjustments to kind of fix the time thing.
Yeah.
The space-time continuum. But you can't... Yeah. So then somebody on your team gets noticed, or they... You know, they accidentally kill this king, and you're like, oh no, now we've got to put up an imposter and train them. And it's like, oh, remember our history books? Yeah.
That'd be fun, like, especially if you take that one from Back to the Future where you can't meet yourself and make it to where you can't meet your time traveling self as well, because that would maybe cross the time streams or something. So, for example, if you accidentally killed the king, you say, oh, that's easy. We'll just go back in time and make sure that we don't kill the king, but you can't actually meet yourself again.
I get you now.
So therefore,
that would actually be kind of fun.
Yeah. I think me in a time traveling game would be always one week behind.
I just see just they're holding your head for the whole game.
I got it. I was going to say one thing to do if you are doing a time traveling game, like don't have the time travelers arrive in a giant flash of bright white light if you're trying to be incognito or have them arrive naked.
Or maybe that's how they do it. It's like there's always like a guy's kind of discredited, but Daniken, the chariot of the gods, and maybe Mysteries of the Ancients or whatever, but he's one of those guys, like the kind of the space astronaut, the space gods. They come down from other planets and then they became our gods.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you realize, like, maybe if you go to the medieval time or you go into the Dark Ages or even like the Egyptian time, if you kind of mask it as your gods, just in case somebody sees you come down, they'll just go, great, we're just going to add to the myth. We're not really going to affect anybody. Everybody equal. Yeah. Or maybe like kind of a variation of the Star Trek Prime Directive is they come down and, you know, the Egyptians have slavery and you're just like, well, we can't say, what words of wisdom do you have? And it's like, just keep doing what you're doing.
You know, that'd be a fun game for a morality kind of play where, you know, if you're some kind of time travelers that are undoing people who are abusing the time stream, you know, somebody goes back in time and uses modern weapons to commit a big robbery and get lots of gold. That one's easy. You go back because they're a thief. But imagine something like that. Someone's gone back in time and they've ended slavery in Egypt, and you have to go back and redo slavery because it's the right thing to do.
Economically, these pyramids are not going to get built. You haven't invented any of this math yet. Don't worry about that. Let's focus on slavery, not on the calculus. Eyes over here.
That'd be really fun for like a morality kind of thing.
No, I think it. Yeah, morality. I think time travel, you know, whatever the science is, I think it can lend itself to maybe the ultimate, mission gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like, really, everything else, like, you do regular science fiction, do regular fantasy, regular modern, a lot of bad stuff can happen. And in a time travel game, all of that can happen. Oh, plus.
If anyone sees you, you're screwed.
All of this. So, yeah, I think I'd be pretty excited to play time travel. And just because probably what we just said, but we probably, if any of one of us ran the game, we just would wait.
Is
that thing going to happen?
Even if it was that, it would be like...
Oh, the Jenga table. No. The Jenga tower is set up. Oh, no.
Yeah. It would be like a double thing. Like the players would be like, all right, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And the GM would be there rubbing his hands like, all right, what are
you doing? The GM wouldn't have to plan anything.
You know, metagame can work for you, and it's just like, damn, it's like Merlin exists, and he was a time traveler?
Yep.
And it's just like, what, he's real? You know, it's like, oh gosh, there's Paul Bunyan or whatever.
Yeah.
But you like introduce all these legendary characters and suddenly they're real.
Yeah. And there are other time travelers.
Yeah, or yeah, you could like drop in and it's like
chopping trees through time.
Yeah, it's like Einstein was a time traveler? Yeah. No, that would be pretty decent.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of ways to go. As many as there are different time streams.
Just don't screw them up.
So I guess that's the final advice. I'm pretty excited with that Jenga Tower actually. Well done, Chris. I think when we do time travel, I think that Jenga Tower is definitely going to be set up as the mechanism for time resilience.
And like we were talking about before, we were thinking about using it for like a horror game, but we were like wondering how it never really meshed with the story. We were using the Jenga Tower for a horror thing, because kind of like, how did you, you know...
That's how Dread works, yeah.
Yeah, well, how did you work the two things together? Because, you know, this little action I take, that raised the fear of that, really. But like you said, Chris, with the Jenga Tower represents completely sort of separate from yourself, the time-space continuum, but you can affect it. So it makes sense that you would be like, okay, well, I did something that could affect time, so I pull a number of blocks, whereas this action I did, that's not really going to matter. It's not going to affect time, so I don't have to pull blocks.
Yeah.
So,
and you can also, you may or may not wish to also then have a time travel stat, which would then kind of see how much you can affect. You know, you might still be pulling that block out of the Jenga Tower, but maybe less blocks.
Yeah.
Well, you could even let time together. You have like the time travel stat. Okay, you do it. You roll it. How many successes did you make? Or how many failures did you block?
Yeah.
You really bungled whatever you did.
You killed Hitler. Good job.
Good job. Roll 10 dice. You succeed on 10s. Oh, full test.
Yeah, but I think time travel has amazing. So like, yeah, like I said, the ultimate mission gone wrong. Mm-hmm. It's like, Houston, we got a massive problem. Where are you? We're in Houston time.
It's like, yeah, Houston, we have a problem. Oh, Houston, we have a whole problem.
We got nobody on the other end.
Hey, there's no radios in
here. Houston, we have... Houston! Well, I hope everybody out there is as excited as we are about this, because it sounds like a lot of fun.
If you're not, go back in time, listen to this episode again.
Check us out online at www.idlereadhands.com. Check us out on our forums and post us up something if you have any ideas about time travel or any places that we've gone horribly wrong about it. Like us on Facebook and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, see you in the future. Does that make sense?
Ooh, nice.
Still not getting this time though.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.